Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right. Hey, it is a... We got a treat this morning. We got Pastor Andy speaking here today, and it is a family service, so the kiddos can get all get one of these, and they'll get a prize if they fill that out. So we're continuing on in our series in 1 John, and so this is Children of God, Part 2. You'll notice that when Victor read the Beatitudes there, the Sermon on the Mount, says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. All right, so that is just a good segue into what Pastor Andy's going to share. So you all know him, so I'm going to turn it over. All right, God bless.
Thank you. All right, so Children of God, Part 2, that's our title here. But before we get started, Pastor Brent hit on a good devotion in his Ecclesiastes. It says in there that... eternity is written on the heart of man. And so sometimes it's just a matter of us discovering that eternity, that life inside of us, that purpose inside of us. But each of us have a purpose, and that purpose first is to have a relationship with Christ and be a child of God. But also, just like we're going to learn today and how John teaches us to love one another in this passage. But before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. So God, we just thank you that you are here in this place. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us. We thank you, God, that you've released your mercy, God. And I just pray that you would speak to us today. God, I pray that you would help us realize how much love you've put upon us, God, that by sending your Son. And God, would you help us to love one another just the way that John teaches us and just the way that you instruct us and how you want us to love one another, Heavenly Father. God, would you give us the grace and empower us to live the way that you call us to live, just as Jesus did. God, we thank you. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right. So you can go ahead and turn your Bible, if you have your Bible, to 1 John chapter 3. We will go ahead and head out to 1 John chapter 3. We'll start in verse 11, and we'll go all the way to 24. So for this message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And Jesus actually also talks about this too. And he says, he's talking to disciples. He says, a new commandment I give you, but it's not a new one. He says, love one another as I have loved you. So also you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. People will know that you are a child of God, or you're a Christ follower, or you're God's disciple if you love one another. And we're going to learn how to do that, because sometimes that gets a little tricky when we have some things in our life that get in the way. So let's go ahead and try that. And so go ahead and look at one of your neighbors and say, you are a child of God and you are loved. Now look at your second favorite neighbor and tell them, you are a child of God and you are loved. Okay, I think we got it. All right, we can wrap it. Just kidding. All right. All right, so. All right, so the word message in this text speaks of us being children of God who have heard a message, heard good news, heard this commandment of loving one another. But it also speaks of being commissioned, of being commanded to love one another just as Christ has loved us. He's commissioned us to go out and make disciples and to share what he shared with his disciples, to teach what Jesus taught. Okay? And so John uses the example of Cain and Abel. He talks about the story of Cain. And he warns us how not to respond and how Cain has allowed the evil one, Satan, to influence him. Cain left his door, or in other words, not literally a door, his heart open to the enemy to come in and have his way in his life. How? Does anybody know how? That's okay, we'll look at it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, we'll pick up there. We should not be like Cain, John speaking, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Well, if we look at this, Cain didn't jump to straight conclusion and was like, oh, I'm a son of the devil. I'm a son of the evil one. That's who I am. No, there was a process of how he got there. There was a reason why he got there. And Cain didn't just wake up one morning and he's like, I think I'm going to murder my brother. I think I'm going to hurt him. I don't think people just jump to that straight extreme, you know? And so there's always a reason why for how people respond to certain situations. I'll say that again. There's always a reason why for how people respond to certain situations. Cain didn't just become one of the evil one. He didn't just become a murderer and murder his brother. There was a reason behind that. He just didn't go and do that action for no reason, okay? And so it all started with a choice. Everybody say a choice. And so not a choice in his action first, but a choice in his attitude. So this was a heart problem that God wanted to deal with, okay? And so let's look at the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Genesis 4. If you don't, it's completely fine. His brother Abel made a choice by faith to love God. And he brought the best of his portion. He brought the finest lamb and the youngest lamb. And man, if you know what lamb is, I'm like, man, that's really juicy. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever had a gyro. Oh, you guys can buy me one after and we'll be good. You can bring that offering. We'll be solid. I'm just kidding. No, but Cain, I'm sorry, Abel, he brought the finest. He brought it all. He's like, God, I'm going to bring my beliefs and my heart. I'm going to bring all of me, and I'm going to give you the finest thing. I'm going to pick out the best for you, God. I'm bringing my whole heart to you. That's what Abel was coming and bringing God. While Cain's heart kind of differed from that in this text, in the story, he brought an offering. He's like, well, here's this. You can just have this one here. Didn't really put any thought into it. Didn't really put any heart into it. It's kind of proud, too. And so he didn't bring it in faith. And as a result, you see that Cain's wasn't accepted, but Abel's was. And so as a man, you're like, huh, well, this is kind of confusing because man judges on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so you see one person bring something, another person brings something. You're like, well, that's fair. That's good, right? And so as a man, we may not understand that because we look on the outward appearance, but God was really looking at a heart issue. He was looking at an attitude issue that he wanted to help Cain with, okay? And that's what God wanted to deal with, was his heart. And so God came to Cain in Genesis 4, 6 to 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? You'll be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. God didn't want him to go down this path of sin because he knew what the outcome was. And so he wanted to deal with his heart issue because he wanted him to experience love in life. And so he wanted Cain to experience the same thing Abel did. He didn't want him to take that route that he did. He wanted him to give him an opportunity to humble himself. But as we find in this story, Cain doesn't do that. But maybe you have a question like I do. I'm like, well, does that mean that we can't be angry? Because, I mean, if you have kids or if you have people that get on your nerves that are really close to you, like Cain and Abel, they were brothers, so they knew how to get under each other's flesh and be like, I'm just going to pick on you a little bit. And so the Bible actually says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. It says, do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give a foothold to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. If you leave your door open, if you let that anger go down in your heart and you don't deal with that, the enemy, he's gonna be like, well, I can walk in because you didn't deal with it. And God doesn't want you to get to that point. God wanted to deal with Cain so that way he didn't get to that point of where he murdered his brother. And so the same goes for us too, that the way that we have to deal with our anger so that way we don't give an opportunity to the devil to keep us offended, to keep us hurt, okay? And so God desired Cain to make the right choice and to humble himself. But we clearly see that Cain did not humble himself. Instead, he let the offense sit in his heart and he's like, I'm not going to deal with it. Just like a kid. He's a kid that gets frustrated and they're like, meh, I don't care. I'm just going to have it right here and sit in my fit and just pout. I'm not going to do anything about it. And so you can do that. And you're going to get the same result, which leads to death. Or you can get up, grow up a little bit, and be like, you know what? I'm a man. I'm a woman of God. I'm going to deal with my anger in a healthy way. Sometimes I go to the gym to express my frustrations. I had a notebook before to express my frustrations, but I had to deal with it in a healthy way so that way sin didn't become my master. And so, offense, it's a choice, just like love is a choice. When you allow offense to sit in your heart, it escalates and escalates, and it finally gets to this place of hatred and bitterness and jealousy, just like we see in Cain. Cain's a little bit jealous. He's a little bit bitter. He hates his brother, and he wants to hurt his brother at this point. And because of this, because he left a foothold, an opportunity for the devil to come in, he was no longer being led by the Spirit of God. He was no longer being led by the Holy Spirit, but he was being led by a spirit of murder. And that's not of God. That's why it says in the text that he was of the evil one, because he aligned. Cain made his choice. He said, I'm going to choose offense. I'm not choosing love. And so he lined himself up with the evil one. And because of that, he was a murderer. And he murdered his brother. And so, hold on, let me turn here. And that brings me to my first point. And love is a choice. Everybody say, love is a choice. If anybody has a relationship with anybody, love is a choice. You can choose to love people and love God, and it's not easy. It really isn't. And even loving those who are closest to you is the hardest thing. But with Christ, all things are possible. Amen? And so God chose, just as God chose to forgive us and send his son, though we didn't deserve that kind of love, just like John talked about in the beginning of this chapter when Pastor hit on it, the Father has lavished us with his love. He sent his son. He laid down his kingdom because he desired us. He was a holy God, separate from evil. But he was full of love and compassion. And he's like, I'm going to send my son because I know you can't do it, but I'm going to do it for you. And we didn't deserve that kind of love. So he would expect, if you desire to be a child of God, or if you claim to be a child of God, then we should walk and do the same as he has. He expects and commands us to do the same, and we would expect nothing less. And so with love, that requires forgiveness. I'll say that again, because that one's kind of hard to swallow. With love, that requires forgiveness. That requires being like, oh, well, you may have been right, you may have been justified in whatever the offense was, but it's still not your place. Your place is to love. Your place is to forgive, just as Christ has forgiven you. Because he had every right. Jesus had every right to stand up and say something. But what did he do? When he was up there with Barabbas, he didn't say anything because he wanted his enemies to know the same love that he had. And so Peter actually asks about this too. He comes to Jesus and he asks him, he says, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times a day? Because back in their culture, they would forgive them a certain amount of times a day. So they would check off, be like, okay, I forgive Pastor Brent this time because he made fun of me, called me a dog. Okay, now he says that I eat the crumbs off the table. Okay, that's a check. All right, now he's saying that I don't know how to make sayings. Okay, that's another check. All right, and then you get to a point where you make 7 checks. You're like, okay, I can't forgive him anymore. If he does it, I'm done with him. And so Peter asks Jesus this, and Jesus responds to him. He says, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And if you're a mathematician, you love math, 490 times. Beat you. I already did it. Yeah. And so you wonder, you think about it. Okay, you're like, okay, so I forgive one person 490 times. You check that many times off. That's kind of absurd to do that for every single person to keep track of that. So Jesus doesn't literally mean forgive them 490 times. He means forgive them whenever they offend you, because offense will come. It's not a matter of how. It's a matter of when. It will happen. And so, so with that being said, we can choose to love and choose love that leads to life, or we can choose offense that leads to death, like Cain's. And that brings me to my next point here. Love signifies that life or eternal life is living inside of us. And let's read it. Let's pick up in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. We know that we have passed out of death into life. So everybody say life. Life. Because we love our brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everybody say death. Yeah. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that murder has no murder has eternal life abiding in him. And so when we choose love, when we choose not to pick up that offense, then we abide. We abide in that eternal life. That eternal life is living inside of us. His name is Jesus. He's not literally living inside of us. He's like, hey, I'm inside of you. I'm going to tell you what to do. And he's not like on your shoulder, and the devil's not on your shoulder. He's like, hey, go do that. And Jesus is like, no, don't do that. That's a bad choice. No, he's not like that. He's with you. He's a spiritual being. And because you don't see him, that's okay. But he's there with you. He's living with you, helping you walk out life, okay? And so, but when we choose not to love, it says we abide in death, okay? And so what that means is you remain where God's trying to bring you from. He's trying to bring you from your past. He's trying to help you grow through those things. He doesn't want that for your life. He wants you to experience this eternal life with him. But there's a process with that, okay? There's a cost with that. And it's not easy, but he's there with you. And with Christ, all things are possible. And so when we choose not to love, you will experience a spiritual death. And that's a scary thing, because when you experience a spiritual death, that's apart from the Lord. But that's okay. You don't have to worry, because when you choose love, that means that that signifies that life is living inside of us, that eternal life, that we have eternal life living inside of us. Let's pick up in 1 John chapter 3, 16 to 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brothers. Everybody say, praise God. We didn't have to do that. We didn't have to pay the price. We surely didn't deserve it, but he did it. Why did he do it? Anybody know? Because he loved us. Amen. Yeah. And so, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And so this brings me to my next point. Love is sacrificial. If we claim to not be children of the evil one, then the way that we align ourselves and claim to be children of God is that we must love one another, and it must be sacrificial, that we must lay down our life just as Christ laid down his. If we claim to be Christ followers, then we will look like him. We will act like him. We will be like him. And in Proverbs, it also talks about that if you claim to believe in Jesus, but it's all just talk, it's all in your mind, it's all in your heart, it amounts to nothing. It's nothing. It's worthless. And James actually talks about it too. Without faith, without works is dead. So if you're not putting what you believe in your mind and your heart to work with your faith, it's dead. But with both, they go hand in hand. And so God has blessed us with so many blessings. Like, you look across the world, and they don't have very much. Like Pastor was talking about, we have a democracy, and we have a lot more freedoms and luxuries here. I was actually talking to somebody about that yesterday, that people in Africa don't have as many blessings or as many things that we have here. We're blessed with so many luxuries, and too much is given, much is required. God's blessed you with so much, and much will be required from you to be a good steward, to help your brother who is in need. If you see somebody in need and you can help them, God expects you to help them. Not because he wants to bring you glory, because he wants the glory. He wants people to know the same love. Everybody say, love is sacrificial. So God bless you and I to be a blessing to the world, but not just with our words, but also in our actions. And so like I said, if there are only words to share or a kind action to share, it's pointless. It's dead. And like I said, James said, faith without works is dead. And so God desires for us to get to a place to have faith in him by our deeds shown to one another, or how we love one another. That leads me to my next point. We'll pick up in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 to 22. It says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. This brings me to my next point here, and love sets us free. Everybody say, love sets us free. let me help you get to that point to help you understand how love sets us free, okay? And so when we choose to love one another, obey God's commandments, we know that we are of the truth. Of the what? Truth, right. So that's what the Bible says. So we can reassure our hearts by knowing the truth. And so the question would be, what is the truth? Anybody know what the truth is? The truth is that just like we had talked about, or Pastor Brent had talked about in the beginning, children of God, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, says we know that the Father's love that he's lavished upon us, okay? And the truth is that we know him and his love for us, that he sent his son to die for us. We know the truth of God's love for us in our mind, in our hearts, and that sets us free. And we just don't keep it in here, but we go and share that in our actions too. That's what keeps us free. God knows our hearts. And there are times where the enemy, he will come and try to keep in and try to deceive you and try to condemn you like, oh, you messed up. Oh, you did the wrong thing. You didn't love God. You didn't love people. Or you got angry at that person. And he may try to get in there and condemn you. But I have good news for you. Christ, he came to destroy the works of the devil. He already defeated them. He took that cross. He paid it for us, okay? And so when you come into relationship with Christ Jesus, or you claim to be a Christ follower, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen? So when you come into union, unity, or relationship with Christ, like I said, there's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no past. If you choose love, there's none of that because he's already paved the way for you. He's like, I've already done it for you. All you have to do is just obey me. Obey what I've already done for you. And you will experience this freedom because he's already paid the price for our sin. He's already paid the law of sin, the price of sin, which was his life on a cross. And so we don't have to feel guilt. We don't have to be afraid. We can come before him, just like it says in the next verse. So we can come before him boldly and in confidence and ask anything according to his will. Maybe even though if we don't see him, we could still believe his word is written. It's done. And we can ask him anything according to his will, and we will receive from him because we have obeyed him and we have done what has pleased him. We have chose to love and chose to have faith and shown our faith by our actions. And so I want to, you can have the musicians come up. I want to close with these last verses. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 to 24, everybody's like, praise God, because 10 minutes, we can go and enjoy our cake. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe that's just me. Just kidding. All right, so I want to close with these last verses in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Now I want to stop right there. Maybe you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know really who he is. And today you want to surrender your life and your heart to him, and you want to maybe even recommit him as your Lord and Savior. If that's what you want to do, I want everybody just to pray as a congregation so that we feel encouraged, because we're a family here. We're one. We're all, and we all messed up. We all fall short of his glory. But you know what? There's a second chance because he gives mercy. He gives grace. We don't deserve it, but he gives it freely because he did it out of love. So let's go ahead and pray as a congregation. So, dear God, please forgive us of our sins. Help us, Heavenly Father, to follow you. We surrender today. And we believe in you as our Lord and Savior. We thank you for what you did on that cross. We thank you that we can have a relationship with you and that we can love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. One more thing. Let's pick up in verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us and by the Spirit whom he has given us. That Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the promise that he was going to give us was the Holy Spirit. And that was going to be the seal to guarantee us as sons, as our adoption, he was going to seal us not by just Jesus' blood, but by his Holy Spirit. He said, now you're my sons. Now you're my daughters. You're in my hands. I'm not letting you go. He will do whatever it takes for you to see his love, to see his grace, to see his mercy. And so today your choice is, you can choose to align yourself just as Cain did, as a child of the evil one, and walk in offense and pay your price. If you want to pay that price of sin, and that cost is death, if you want that, ultimately God gives you the free will. Because with love, there's always an option. There's always a choice. Or you can come on to the other side and you can choose love. You can choose love that is sacrificial, that has life, that is eternal. You can choose love that sets you free from all condemnation, from all guilt, from all your shame, from all your past, from all your pain. If there's anything that's on your heart that God's speaking to you in this moment, I want to invite our prayer team up here. And I want you to believe that God is going to help you to free you of those things, to help you choose love, to help you experience eternal life, to help you live a life where you lay down your life. Live a life where you are set free. If God's, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now, I want to encourage you. Like I said, there's no condemnation. There's no guilt. We all fall short, even me. But there's mercy. There's grace. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, I want to encourage you to step out and allow God to help you right where you're at, because he will. He's not going to leave you right where you're at. He's going to help you grow through right where you're at. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants you to go through it with him. Amen? So that's you. You guys can go ahead and make your way up here.
Because love is a choice. John deals with it. Paul deals with it in about every one of his letters, all 13 of them. Just this idea of brotherly love and loving each other. And I can guarantee you, you'll be offended at church. You'll be offended at work. You'll be offended in your marriage. You'll be offended in your relationships, work, school, in the community. You will be offended. The decision is, will you make the choice to work through that offense, to seek reconciliation, to seek love, to restore that relationship when offended? That's where the choice is. Because is murder a sin in our land? Yeah, if you murder, you're going to go to jail, right? Okay. You're going to go to jail. Is hate, is that hate a crime? Are they going to send you to jail because you hate your brother or your sister? No, they're not. And see, that's where you are a citizen of heaven first and a citizen of this earth second. Because Jesus called us to a higher standard. He didn't say, just do not murder. He says, love your brother and your sister in Christ. Right? Why? Because if you don't deal with that offense, it brews, it builds, and eventually sometimes it turns into murder, right? Sometimes the way we deal with it in our society, we unlike them on Facebook, or we sit on the other side of church, or we just don't sit by them, we see them in the community, we go the other way, right? We don't look at them. That's how we deal with it, right? God has not called us to live according to the standards of this world. He's called us to live the standards of heaven, which is to deal with the offense, to love, to make that decision to choose, to love sacrificially, to love others that don't deserve it. Right? That's what God did for us. He calls us to love people that don't even deserve it, and to give of that. So that's what he calls us to. Amen? Not a tough thing, not an easy thing to do, is it? That's where the sacrificial part comes in. But when we love that way, then we know that we are of God and that God's virtue, his spirit, his nature is shining through us. Amen? Touching the world around us. Father, we just thank you for the body of Christ. It is a beautiful thing. We are the bride of Christ in all of our imperfectness and who we are. And Lord God, you call us to love just as you've loved us, just as you've embraced us with all our imperfections and our sin, and you've reached out to us and you've forgiven us. And that's that same love that now you want us to radiate, to extend to the relationships around us, within the church, within our families, within our communities, within our neighborhoods. You call us to extend that same type of love. And it's then that we become a citizen of heaven. It is then that we reflect your virtues, your values, in the heart of God. And then we know that we are yours. God, keep making us. Keep making us and transforming us. It's not anything that we can do by ourselves. Lord, we need your help. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your strength. And we ask this morning in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.